What up, fam? On this episode of the Snapback Sports Pod, the NFL is back, and our energy was as well. It was truly an incredible episode. We do our week one takeaways as well as preview week two. I will be at Chiefs-Ravens for Sunday Night Football. If you want to go to games this season, use the code Jack on TickPick. They have no service fees. It is truly the best way to go. We also have our underdog pick-ems, amongst other things. Fam, NFL in full swing.
Snapback fam, new app.
The Baltimore Ravens select Lamar Jackson.
I'm a Raven. He's on all year, every year.
Jackson takes it himself.
Oh, he broke his ankles.
A play. Oh, blocked by James.
Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
For the Philadelphia Eagles, the long drought is over.
Bryant with the jumper.
What up, fam? I'm your host, Jack Settleman. Joining me today, and as always, my co-host and longtime best friend, Abe Granoff. Abe, what is on your mind today?
I'm struggling this week. I'm struggling big time. You know, it's part of having a mental illness, but since the Eagles won on Sunday, obviously I'm fully in. Like, it's Super Bowl or bust, and I truly do mean that. And because of that, I've just been so excited to watch them play again that this week hasn't moved. It's been Wednesday for 4 days, and it's driving me insane. Every week last year, the weeks would fly by because it's just like, oh, I have to deal with this dumbass team again and this dumbass quarterback. And now it's like I'm so excited for this Sunday just to watch the Eagles play. And I don't even know if we're going to win. I do. But it's just making the weeks go slow and it's taking a toll on my mental health. So feel free to shoot me a text tomorrow, Friday, Saturday. Just check in on your buddy.
I think you'll be okay. You got one win. You're a quarter of the way to matching last year's win total. So you're feeling good. Absolutely.
Yep.
The Ravens are not. Raiders Ravens recap. You didn't stay up for the game, for the end of the game.
Okay. No, I did. I did stay up for the end of the game. This was wild. So I made it. It was a great game, right? And I made it a point to stay up for it. And I was watching it in my bed right here, lights off, TV on. And I remember my eyes shutting at like the 6 minute mark. And I was like, ah, come on, Abe, come on. And I missed like from the 6 minute mark to like the 2:15. And then I missed like the 1:30 mark, and I woke up with 7 seconds left with Justin Tucker lining up to hit just like every other chip field goal shot he ever makes. chip shot from 75. And I was like, you know what? Jack won. Great trip to Vegas. The Ravens won. And when I woke up, I went to sleep with 37 seconds left when the Ravens were up 27-24. And when I woke up, Jack, I don't think I've ever laughed that hard that early in the morning.
You legit missed the game, by the way.
Yeah, like, no, I missed everything. Like, I missed literally everything.
It's funny. I was obviously at the game. First off, the stadium, gorgeous. We sat up high, and I noticed this when I went to Seattle and sat up high. The sound is much louder down low. Like, all sound filters down, I guess. I don't know. I'm not an audio technician. Right? Like, it drops, and then people are screaming downwards. Like, no one's screaming up, essentially. So it wasn't that loud up top, but apparently it was bumping down low, and there was great energy in the crowd. So it was fun. It was awesome. But for the first 50 minutes, I was like, yeah, it's kind of a back-and-forth game. They're scoring, but it's, like, boring. Like, I was legit bored. The Ravens didn't look good. The Raiders didn't look good. And then from the last 2 minutes of the fourth to overtime, that is, I said, I wish I was not a Ravens fan on that day, because everyone said that was like literally the greatest game they've ever seen.
I mean, it's not like it was Chiefs Rams Monday night from a few years ago.
But the drama to it all, the thing with Chiefs Rams, whatever, 4 years ago, it was just like insane scoring. And like there was a score on every play. This was like they literally threw a pick after the game had been called. So, yeah, it was an absolutely nutso game.
What was the distribution? So it's the first game in Vegas where there were fans. Yeah. And we talked about every road team is going to travel to Vegas just to see their team. And that's why the ticket prices are going crazy. What was kind of the percentage of Ravens fans, percentage of Raiders fans, and then just people that were in Vegas and wanted to get drunk and watch some football.
It reminded me a lot of Knicks games post-COVID, which was like, it was straight Raiders fans, no corporate, no one in town. Probably because the price to get in was a little higher than rest of the season will be, with the Ravens coming in on Monday Night Football opening the stadium. I would say the Vegas locals told us they expected it to be 2/3 Vegas and 1/3 visiting fans. I do not think it was anything close to that. I would say like an 80-20 split at best. And the Ravens fans are definitely amongst the top 10%, top 20% of the league in terms of fans traveling. So, yeah, Raiders fans showed out. It was very impressive. And that team.
Do you want to address the elephant in the room?
Which is?
You should be nervous about your Ravens.
I
like even making the playoffs.
Sure. I think if we don't fix the O-line and the D-line, then we're not going to be a good team.
How are you going to fix the O-line?
The O-line, my understanding is Ronnie Stanley will get back to speed, right? He broke his ankle and he was out for 8 games last year, and this is his first game speed action, and he looked terrible. He was a revolving door. This is an all-pro tackle. If he doesn't return to health, then there's serious questions. The Villanueva situation, you saw late in the game, they were chipping with Latavius, and it's what helped the Ravens drive down.
Thank you. Thank you for your service, Charlie.
Charlie? Yeah, thank you.
Charlie Villanueva. Yeah. Oh, no, not Charlie Villanueva. What's his name? Alejandro.
Yeah.
Charlie Villanueva, snapback fan.
Charlie's
sorry.
Charlie's different. So, O-line-wise, but here's the thing, Abe.
Wide-out-wise, quarterback-wise,
well, that's
D-line-wise.
And no matter what I say,
literally the only thing you have going for you is Justin Tucker, which is great.
The funny thing is, no matter what I say, it doesn't matter, right? The narrative's out on Lamar, and it's just, it will be the way it is. And
but it's nothing's changing.
But that's,
like,
but hold on.
He made,
let
like
me,
that,
let
that,
me put something in perspective, though. The game falls on Lamar, right? That's a quarterback. It's always going to be. But realistically, it's like Cleveland for LeBron, right? It's like, they want, no matter how shitty the circumstances outside of LeBron, like, the blame will still always get. And now I'm starting to accept that. But if you pull Lamar out and look at the team in a vacuum,
you're a 4-win team.
Exactly. And I think what you can actually do is you can go back to last year, and they were almost 3 touchdown underdogs just because they had to play a backup quarterback. And it's like Lamar played terrible by the media standards, and he fumbled. He cost him the game, right? He played terrible. Still dropped 27, was missing his first 3 running backs, was missing his first round pick wide receiver, and the O-line let up a worse pressure rate than the Chiefs in the Super Bowl. And what was the narrative?
That is your favorite stat the past 3
but
days.
But seriously, what was the narrative? The narrative was it had nothing to do with Pat. And so, listen, I can give you all the data and all the reasoning and all of this.
There's a stat for everything.
No, it's that no matter what I say, similar to LeBron in Cleveland, it doesn't matter. The result is
right. They
have to win. Now, what did LeBron do? He kept winning regular season games.
He went to LA.
Right, and eventually went to Miami. But for now, you ask, are you nervous about the playoffs? Absolutely. But I do think that Lamar can carry you to 10, 11, 12 wins and will be a playoff team. But what I'm nervous about, Abe, is the window and the Super Bowl contenders, and this team today
exactly
is not a Super Bowl contender. I can accept
Here's why I think that you should be worried. It's Super Bowl or bust for the Ravens. It has been since Lamar's MVP year. You guys have just been consistently getting to the playoffs every year, winning double-digit games. Lamar, you posted. He had to be Superman, and he almost got them there. A few plays here, the fumbles, and the Ravens
plays.
Win that.
When you went to sleep, he pulled it off, right? Like,
right.
There's nothing
exactly
else to do.
But, and this is, before you freak out, this is what is concerning to me. It's why I think about Ben Simmons. Like, Ben Simmons isn't working on his shot, or he is. Who knows? Lamar's working on his arm. But you see it time and time again. It is so inconsistent. He made a bunch of throws. That touchdown in the red zone when he moved around the pocket, stepped up, and hit Hollywood was an unbelievable play. Yeah, the Watson throw was unbelievable. That's week 1 Watkins, so he's going to catch that. He won't catch that week 2 through 17, 18. But, like, Lamar has to carry you in order for you guys to get where you want to go. And because of his inconsistent arm, he simply cannot. That's where I'm at with it. And this is no bias. It's truly just I'm watching him, and he has a clean pocket, and he's just missing some throws.
That's the thing I'll disagree with. On Monday night, he had two clean pockets, and he made both the throws. There was one, the miscommunication with the back. Once again, this is a four-string back, and you got to get on the same page. I actually had a little more hope for his arm after last night or after Monday night in seeing, like, okay, he made a great throw to Watkins. Yeah, he missed Andrews once. Andrews has a drop. Like, this is the problem, and this is what I've said four times already today. No matter what happens, Lamar will get the blame. But imagine you're picking the priorities of things like that need to be fixed. Lamar Jackson and his passing
is second to last. Is second to last.
What's last?
Justin Tucker,
right? Justin Tucker's mental fortitude. Yes. So the game was amazing. We're 0-1. It's a tough one to drop. Every smart person in the world was betting on the Raiders and knew it was a bad spot. It was opening.
Did you just call yourself dumb?
Yeah. What are you?
Cool.
Do we think we're the
smart? I bet on the Raiders. Right, I bet on the Raiders.
But that leads me to week number two. Just for the TickPick experience, use code Jack on TickPick. I'll be a Chiefs Ravens Sunday night football. How about that to start?
Sorry
this
to hear. Yeah, 0-2.
Oh, man. Yeah, that one's.
You don't think you're going to win this game?
Obviously, I do. Once again, the takeaway is nothing's changed over the past 2 years, and that's really the issue, is the team's actually gotten a little worse, and they're not mentally tough, not physically. The old Ravens would find a way on Sunday to smack the Chiefs in the mouth and gut out a win. I just don't.
When you say old Ravens, you mean Joe Flacco, Ray Lewis. Exactly. I was going to say, because old Ravens, as in a few years, has never beaten the
Correct.
Chiefs.
And that's what I'm saying. Nothing's changed. So the odds are definitely in the Chiefs' favor. What's going to happen? They're going to kill us in the pass game. We're going to kill them in the run game. A turnover probably swings it. But if we – there's the spread is 3.5. It's not like it's a 2-touchdown spread. Like, there's a –
you're a touchdown underdog in Arrowhead.
Which is fair. There's a chance we win the game. I'm not going to act like – but I wouldn't necessarily – last year I was on here saying that we're going to beat them. We're the better team. We're going to run all over them. With the O-line and the pass rush, it's just – you can't.
If it was week 10, you'd probably be 1,000%
confident.
If I
saw more weeks from the reason, team, but the team I've seen
you,
so far.
All right, so Lamar has to play Superman. Have you thought about who's on the other side of the ball?
Pat Mahomes.
Mm-mm.
Oh, Danny Sorensen.
Daniel Sorensen.
You know he's
going to
pick
it's
off
Daniel
Lamar,
Sorensen's...
which is the most annoying part of the entire
Dude.
thing.
He's going to make the biggest lock for Sunday is that Daniel Sorensen, if you haven't listened to the pod in the past, when we came on, get his name, Eagleson or Jack, kid came on the pod, the fan pod, we let him in. He was a diehard Chiefs fan. He told us, word for word, when we found out that the NFL was going to figure out Lamar Jackson this year, he said, no, they won't. Daniel Sorensen will. And Daniel Sorensen came up big for the Chiefs last week against the Browns, and now it's his first crack at Lamar. What position does he play? Linebacker? Safety? I will never watch a safety as closely as I will watch Daniel Sorensen on Sunday night. And I am so excited for it. The Chiefs are going to beat the shit out of you, and you'll be 0-2. And that is just
tough. Let's go takeaways from week number one. We're going to do two each. My first one, I started the bandwagon, but my friends at BR Gridiron may be carrying it, the Jalen regression bandwagon. People give him the excuse that his O-line wasn't working. The excuse.
I haven't seen many excuses for Jalen because the reason that I haven't been seeing many excuses is because the issues that he had on Sunday against the Steelers D. Now, the Steelers D could be the best in football. Like, it could be, if not top three, top five, whatever. But the issues we were seeing with Josh Allen were the exact same issues we saw before last year. The inaccurate passing. And that's just like...
And can we acknowledge he's now played 4 straight bad football games? And this was the thing. Same exact thing happened to Lamar.
Four straight bad football games.
This is the same thing that happened to Lamar. The regular season is a breeze, but when they really figure him out, my takeaway from week one is don't let the league.
Didn't he play pretty well against the Colts or no in the playoffs?
They should have lost that game. They punted like four times but in the red zone. The Ravens, he was awful. And the Chiefs, he was awful. And now week one, he was awful. All I'm saying is not Jalen regression anymore, but did the media get it wrong? Might they just figure out Joshua Allen? That's my takeaway from week one. And you know how good that Miami Dolphins defense is. Oh, Brian Flores throwing different looks at him. Eagleson will tell you all about it. All I'm saying is be careful, Joshua.
You just, and this, you know, Josh Allen is your Kyler of last year. Week after week last year, you were just finding reasons to go at Kyler. Now Kyler comes out, he throws for five touchdowns. They beat the shit out of the Titans, and Jack's like, hey, Jalen, come over here for a second. Let me talk to you. And now you're walking with Jalen under your arm for the rest of the, using your calculated takes here and there.
Am I wrong?
He had a bad week one against a really good defense. And, you know, in order to win 15 games, you have to lose two.
Under my definition of the big game.
My first takeaway from week one is that the snapback bump is back and it's realer than ever. We have Evan McPherson on, kicker from University of Florida, gets drafted to the Bengals, starting rookie kicker, goes in and just has a bunch of field goals, then kicks a 50-plus yarder for the win in overtime in his first career game. Like, he was telling us about revolutions
on the ball, baby.
Is that what they're called? Revolutions? Like, yeah, he calculated the shit out of those revolutions. And then you got Eckler going into the end zone. You got DJ Moore catching a touchdown.
Smitty?
Like the Smitty being Smitty and being the best route runner in football. Best route runner in football. Got in the end zone with ease. That was the best quote of the weekend. Someone was like, when did you know you had a touchdown? He's like, when I lined up in man coverage. Like, nobody can guard this man.
No one can guard
in the NFL.
Oh, okay. If you want to talk about no one can guard, I'm adding a takeaway. Darren Waller's the best player in the history of the world. He is the most unguardable fucking person of all time.
I mean, Jack, if you got 30 targets in the NFL, I think you'd have 6 or 7 receptions too. Like, they just threw it to
because
him every
he's
single
always
time.
He's open. He's a mismatch nightmare. All right, go ahead. Sorry.
The bump was just alive and well. Evan McPherson, Eckler, DJ Moore. There's probably more I'm missing, but, you know, come on the pod and good things happen.
Stay tuned. More guests coming soon. And by the way, for Raiders fans out there, because we only talk through the Ravens lens, I'm going to give you some love in the second half of the pod. So stay tuned.
I'm going to do the opposite
for you. My takeaway number two, MVP race for me, is that man K1 tied up with Matty Stafford. Kyler, I think, is going to have a massive year. I said he draft him in fantasy because not only rushing quarterbacks, but pre him getting hurt, he was on pace to break all Lamar's fantasy records from his MVP year. And then, I mean, people are like downplaying it, but Matt Stafford is going to be a dog for the Rams. I said it before the season. I'll continue to reiterate it. The Bears defense is good and they absolutely sauced them.
I disagree that the Bears defense is good.
They're not
honestly
good.
I think it's just age throughout the years. They're not what they used to be.
They're not bottom. They're top
top 10. They're not.
Right.
They're top half.
And
they're top
and
half. They're top half.
It was an uncompetitive game, and Matt Stafford came out and showed exactly what Sean McVay has been waiting for.
So you have Stafford and Kyler in the MVP race, and it's week one. So this is all just who played the best that week, which in reality, Chandler Jones is the MVP of football, but that's a different story. But like, if you're throwing Stafford in there, I'm not going to say Kyler, but like, why
because
not Jalen
I'm not
like,
saying
he
I'm
balled
not saying
the hell
he
out because he played the Falcons.
I'm not even saying that. I'm not saying who had the best week one. You have to factor in the preseason odds, right? Like, Hurts is going to have to show us something for 3 more weeks, right? And it, yeah.
Noted.
Yeah. So come find me after week four when you guys are 1-3 or 2-2, one of the two. And then we'll talk. Russell Wilson will be above Jalen Hurts by week four. We know that because that's his time.
Russell Wilson already is the MVP right now. Until week 8.5 or 9.5.
Right at the bye.
9. Math is off. My second takeaway from week one is that the tide has officially turned for the Chargers in L.A. They could play in a close game in Washington on the road. And how many times in the last X amount of years have we seen the Chargers lose that game? If you're listening to this, how many bets have you won or lost on a Chargers fourth quarter blunder? Justin Herbert doesn't shy away from the moment. He looks calm. He looks poised. He's so talented. And they win that game. And any other year for the Chargers, you know for a fact they lose that game. It's kind of like the Falcons type thing. But the Falcons, I feel like, are overplayed. And now they just kind of suck. Like, nah, that's a good team. That's a good team that we beat out there last Sunday. That's a good team. But no, the Chargers are legit. They have weapons on offense. Their defense is young. It's good. And they finally have a coach that can just not fuck it up. That's as simple as that.
I'll even give him credit. He let Herbert throw late, and that's what won them the game, and they iced the clock. So let's actually give him credit.
I think the biggest, like, if you're applying for the Chargers head coaching job, I think the job description, the number one thing is you just won't fuck
it
up.
That gets you definitely to the final two. It's as simple as that. Maybe you need a little more from
exactly.
that.
Exactly. I think the Chargers are going to do big things.
I called them into the AFC Championship or AFC Divisional Round, one of the two, which is, that would be a big step. All right, Underdog Pick'em, Thursday Night Football. So, Abe, here's the thing. Thursday Night Football, you've got last week, Cowboys-Bucks. Game winner, Brady does his thing. Monday Night Football, Ravens-Raiders, one of the best games ever. Sunday Night Football, you see Stafford's debut, he balls out. And then they're like, all right, prime time. You had enough fun. Here's week two, Giants, Washington football team.
Let me stop you there. You want to guess what next week's Thursday night football game is?
Houston Jags.
Carolina Houston.
Thank you to the gods who picked the primetime games.
Let's see what week four is. Week four. Oh, my God. We're going to keep going until we get a good game. Week four, Jacksonville at Cincinnati. Week five. Okay. The Rams at Seattle. It's like that. Who has? Oh, week six, the Bucks in Philadelphia. Please, that's a game of the year. It's like they actually tried to put the shittiest game possible on Thursday night.
It just makes no sense. Why?
Like, you know damn well who's going to be somewhat.
You know
good in the beginning of the year when you're making the schedule
will never be good.
Literally, all you have to know is who were the quarterbacks on this team and then try and figure it out. But there are some good games down the stretch.
Well,
but the next few Thursdays were in for some trouble.
Thursday Night Football fun, Abraham? With the People's Pick'em. We talked about it on Monday. People's Pick'em went 2-2. Not our best performance. But did you
not our worst.
By the way, if you
not
went
our
to
worst.
Sleep with 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, the Jack Specialman was 0-3, and we boosted the odds to 10x. Did you see it hit?
I mean, you should have had the interception earlier with Marlon Humphrey.
That was insane too, but Carr interception, next play Watkins reception, cashed out. So a lot of people cashed out. They're ready to fire on Thursday Night Football, and here's what we've got. Abe, start us off.
This line just makes no sense to me. Listen, Saquon over 46.5 rushing yards. I get it. It was a horrible draft pick to draft a running back second overall. The Giants are an abomination of an organization.
Of what I have.
Then it went up since 20 minutes ago. Listen, the Giants are a garbage organization. Dave Gettleman has not fixed a thing with that offense. The offensive line is atrocious. They reached on Daniel Jones, who is so bad. And Saquon comes back, and he's just running left to right, but he doesn't have an offensive line. This is Saquon Barkley we're talking about. I got to watch him 4 years at Penn State. I know he's coming off the injury. I know the Giants suck. But 46 yards and a half yards for a guy like that is, you could say it's a trap line, but I'm falling right into that trap because anytime you give me that type of line for that type of player, it honestly reminds me of Devontae Smith 3.5 receptions last week.
The problem is,
I get it, the Washington front and the defense.
Giants, so they ranked 32nd last week with average depth of when their running back was touched. It was minus 0.3 yards.
Saquon actually had 200 yards left to right last week and without going past the line of scrimmage. It's like if he just runs straight,
right?
Like he'll break one
tackle.
But
the fun thing is this line is fun because like one good blocking sequence and you cashed. Like it's over. And they were out of the entire game last week. They weren't running the ball. I anticipate this to be as ugly as we picture it. So I like that line.
You're talking like 17-9 Washington.
He gets his 15 carries and he can get to.
Let me just make that my score prediction now. 17-9 Washington.
My first pick, Logan Thomas, under 49.5 receiving yards. Abe does not like this pick, which is okay. So it's a great pick.
It's a great
my
bet.
My logic for this, I actually think Logan could eat on Thursday Night Football, but he's like, I don't know if you watch, he's like Ertz. There's no yak, and every target is like 6 yards down the field. So he could get 6 catches and still only have 40 yards. And so I like that. He's not a big yardage guy. He's more touchdown reliant when it comes to fantasy. So Logan Thomas under 50 yards, essentially.
The reason I don't like that, and it's kind of the same reason why I do like my next pick, is because for a backup quarterback, and we're calling Taylor Heinicke a backup, even though he played, it feels to me like the running back dump off and the tight end are always the security blankets. But like, if you're right, he doesn't break any tackles and they're 6 yard routes. But for that reason, exactly, I have JD McKissick over 14.5 receiving yards. Taylor Heinicke dumping it off, that's just one broken tackle. I think it could be done in one play by itself. He was a huge PPR monster at the end of last year. Now they're kind of focusing on Gibson, but listen, Taylor Heinicke's going to want to dump that ball off and check it down. And JD McKissick will be there. And I'm not just saying that because, unfortunately, I have lost Gus Edwards and Raheem Mostert in my fantasy league and now have to start JD McKissick tomorrow.
So I'm looking at some stats.
Like, I have to start JD McKissick or Cordarrelle Patterson as my running back.
That's really tough. But, you know.
Yeah.
It is. We're off to a bad start. The final pick, I'm going Sterling Shepard under 65.5 yards. I like Shep. I think he's a good player. They also have Kenny Galladay. And Shep went off last week. And Daniel Jones has been there long enough for me to think this isn't like his new favorite guy. This was just they were trailing by a lot and throwing a ton. And Shepard was the guy on that day. So I think this is taking advantage of an inflated line. If you set this line before the season started, there's no way he'd be at 65.5. So I like Shep under 65.6. Bet 33 on the People's Pick'em. You win $330. One more time.
Did you just say 65.6?
No, in the chat, I typed 6 by accident, but it's 65.5. Official underdog.
Anyway,
pick 'em. Use code Jack. Saquon over 46.5, over 48.5 rushing yards. JD McKissick over receiving yards. Logan Thomas under 49.5 receiving yards. And Shep under 65.5 receiving yards.
I know we have to go 4 for 4, but I'll guarantee, if anyone wants to get in my DMs before the game kicks off tomorrow, I'll guarantee this goes at least 3-1.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough to see it not. That's just what we do. So, We're going to take a quick break. After the break, more Week 2 preview. We're going to highlight some of the biggest games, and then we're going to pick our upset of week numero dos and hear from Eagleson. We'll be right back. All right, fam, we are back. Week 2 preview. Let's start with Bills, Fins. Bills 0-1, home loss. Imagine losing a game at home. Dolphins win on the road. They beat Mac Jones, the Mac attack. Now the Bills have a wait, are the Bills on the road? They are.
Yes.
All right. Fins have a chance to go to 2-0, take a 2-game lead, and earn a tiebreaker over the Dolphins, over the Bills, rather. You think it could happen?
What, dude? It's Josh Allen versus Tua. Like, that's what this game is. One was a runner-up MVP. We'll have a regression this year for the simple fact that he won't win the MVP.
Well, you actually picked him to win MVP.
I still do think he will.
So maybe we'll have a regression.
The other quarterback sucks tits. Plain and simple.
Wait, Mitch Trubisky's also on the Bills. You know that. He's the king of titty sucking.
Oh, yes. Mitch Trubisky does love titty sucking, so it'll be a titty-sucking battle between the Bills and the Fins this week, and that's how I see it playing out. Listen, the Bills probably came out a little too cocky last week. It feels like everyone was, like, in the national media, like, the Bills, the Bills, the Bills. And it's like, we're talking about the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
So it's like, why don't we stop talking about them and let them do their thing that they're supposed to, rather than talking about a team in Buffalo, and then you see what happened last week. But by no means was that a bad loss, right? It's like you're playing a team that made the playoffs. Did they make the playoffs? Yes,
they were 13-0.
Right, that made the playoffs in the Steelers. It has one of the best defenses in the league, and it's a good organization. Like, that's not a bad loss, like the Ravens is.
Now
to
you go to Miami with the worst organization, not the worst, but top.
Yes, now you go play a fake. You play a fake franchise in a game where you're coming off a loss. You were humbled. Humbled is the way I'll put it. And I feel like the Finns went into Foxborough, and now they think they. Like, went into Foxborough doesn't mean what it used to mean.
They
like,
beat
it's
a rookie
not a thing
quarterback
anymore.
Because their running back fumbled with 2 minutes left. Like, they,
right. Yeah. Like, you can't use the we won in Foxborough thing anymore. That's just not how it works
and
when Tom isn't
there. They played
there
every year. Like, yeah. It's...
And they barely won. So, yeah, I think that the spread is totally indicative of how these teams match up. Like, usually a matchup between two division rivals where they're both supposed to have pretty solid seasons, you would see a 3-point favorite to the home team just based off home field. Now you got the Bills, a 3.5-point favorite just going into Miami. It's just like Vegas is telling me the Bills are better and they're going to win.
That's fair. I would protect the Dolphins if I were in a better mood and give you some, but no, fuck them. But also,
perfect.
But how can... All right, I need like a 10.
Yeah, this is a bad game for
right,
you.
This is a thread that one of those thread the needle.
How can the Dolphins lose and Jalen's just the worst quarterback in the league?
It's possible. Dolphins could do some stuff, and you know Tua's not lighting them up, so it could
no
happen.
Shit.
We could thread the needle here. Game number two, we're gonna chat about staying pod related. Eagles Niners. You're going to San Fran or you're at home? You're hosting Jimmy G.
Oh, we're at home. Jalen and Coach Gabagool, first time at the link, 70,000 fans.
You going?
I actually think I'm going to the tailgate, and I've looked at prices and I've thought about
it. What are they on TickPick? How much to get in?
I think it was like 200 for a high seat.
Really?
My plan was.
Wow.
I forget what. I don't know. But my plan was, and Kyle Zorn, I hope you're not listening to this, I was just going to tweet them at the tailgate a picture of the stadium being like, I would love to go inside of there. And just check my account 20
Please
minutes later and see if
the picture that it's clear that it's the stadium and not like a female. And with that wording, that's my only request. Or else we're going to be.
I don't know what the prices are. But no, I mean, listen, like everyone thinks the Eagles – like played the Falcons. That's a good group of guys. We talked about that on Sunday. It's a good, talented team in Atlanta. But Jalen impressed. Sirianni impressed. What they're doing finally is what they did with Foles. And they're catering the offense to the quarterback. Jalen Hurts is pretty much running the offense that he ran in Oklahoma. He's comfortable in it. He's succeeding. We finally have the weapons. The defense played great. The defensive line is just as good as we imagined, just as deep. And now we find out, did we play the Falcons last week, or do we have something here? Mm-hmm. And listen, it's my guys at home on a 1-0 record. Like, obviously, I'm taking the money line.
Yeah,
like three point dogs at home.
The annoying
3-point
so
dogs
this
at home.
Is the annoying part is that
don't forget 10 a.m. game for the Niners. Just saying.
True.
Just
I
saying.
Admitted on the preview that Fields. What's your quarterback name? Hurts.
Don't talk about a backup quarterback compared to Jalen
Hurts. Is the wild card, and I thought that your team was good enough. I still am not buying as much into. I think you think that the team is a little better than they are, but maybe they are. I don't know.
As I should.
Right, right. But I have them not ranked as highly. But Hurts can be the X factor essentially, and Smitty can be an add-on as well. So if. Garoppolo stinks. That's the problem. The Niners on paper are just a much better team from top to bottom, except this is how football works.
You know what the best part about that statement is? The Sixers are top to bottom. We're a better team on
exactly.
paper than the Hawks.
So can I see the Eagles winning this game? Yes. I think it's a good opportunity if you are into these sorts of things to fade the Eagles. And if they
did, you just ask me if I'm into fading the Eagles.
I'm talking to the listener. I'm talking to the fan. If it's almost like, all right, make them prove it one more time. And you know what? If they prove it, they beat them handedly. They make Garoppolo look like dust.
If we win, that's a good win.
If you win, then your talk about the Eagles
shit gets serious.
Can be whatever you want it to be because the division's
and then we go to Dallas and then we go to Dallas next week and Monday night.
On the flip,
then we're home against Kansas City. Anything happens.
Yeah, on the flip, there's a good chance you guys are 1-3 at the quarterway mark, which is why I would like to hype you up right now. So in the next 10 minutes, we can get a bet locked in before.
I'll bet you anything that we're not 1-3. Whatever you want.
Okay. How about this?
I promise you, we will not lose three straight games.
Okay. How about this then? How about this?
Wait, we have San Fran, Dallas, Kansas City. Yeah. I promise you we win one of those games.
Okay. Let's do this. 1-3. You owe me 100. 3-1. I owe you 100. 2-2. We call it a draw. It's great odds for you. That's a surefire.
4-0, I get 200.
Well, no, then it would be I get 200 on 1-3. But you said it's not happening.
No. 100 on 1-3.
No. It would be 200 on
100 on 2-3.
Over the three games. If you guys lose all three, I get 200.
Fine, but if we go 4-0, I want the Snapchat password for the day. I get a Sunday with the Snapback Snapchat password. If we go 4-0.
I'm going to talk to the lawyers. We'll get this bet ironed out. Let's talk upset of the week. Upset of the week. My upset of the week. I'm taking the Raiders over the Steelers. And listen, is this absolutely a narrative that the Raiders are really good and that's why they beat the Ravens? Maybe. But you've got a down spot for the Steelers. And let me tell you something about the Raiders. I was tweeting on the bus to the game. I was like, why?
You want to tell me something about the Raiders? I've been talking about them for years.
I was tweeting on the way to the game. I'm like, why are people picking the Raiders to win? Like, I don't get it. Last year's Raiders team, like, the Ravens beat them handedly. This year's Raiders team, they actually spent a lot of money in free agency and shored up the defense. Now that they don't have the worst defense in the league, I think they're, like, above average offensively. They're average defensively. And no one can stop Waller, and they can win games. And people are so hyped up on the Steelers right now, but like, they weren't impressive in their game against Buff.
Big Ben looked like shit.
Yeah, he looked horrible.
They won on a special teams play, which, hey, don't get me wrong, right. Got to win all three phases.
But
and they did.
I just think this is where I'm using the same methodology that I used against the Eagles to say, like, okay, give it another week. I'm going to say, maybe the Raiders
are going
to
double down.
I'm going to say maybe the Raiders are actually good. And so I'm going to take them to win in Pittsburgh, which also, to your Foxborough point, winning at Heinz is not the same. You know what I mean? Like, no one won at Heinz Field, especially traveling coast to coast. Now it's like, whatever. Cleveland almost beat them there. So that's my upset of the week. Las Vegas.
I hate that pick. Which is great. Yeah, you're right. It's for the exact opposite reason, where it's like the same thing I've been saying about the Raiders is like, they're a drunk football team and they always will be. On any given week, they could beat the best team in football. On any given week, they could lose to the worst team in football. And to me, it's like they're going to Pittsburgh home opener. I feel like the Raiders, because of how it went down, they're on a short week. They were celebrating this probably until today. Like, they're kind of like, they won a mini Super Bowl week one with the way that game ended. They were expected to lose. And I think that they get smacked in the face by Pittsburgh.
I totally hear your logic. The only thing that I think holds me up, the Ravens O-line shouldn't be that bad. And the Raiders D-line, I think, is pretty good. And the Steelers actually have the worst offensive line in football. So, like, what will that look like? Like, am I going to be posting metric? It's like Mahomes 52%, Lamar 54%, and Big Ben like 68%. Like, if Ben does not have time with how dusty he is, they might not score.
And I think the same thing for the Raiders. It's like the Steelers, so they play man coverage. They only brush four, and they always get to
good
the
luck playing
they
man coverage against Darren Waller. Genuinely good luck. Triple team him, he'll still catch 10 balls. Like,
listen, he's not
God. He's literally God. I beg you to guard him.
My upset of the week might shock you a bit, but Carson, what's up, my dude? The Colts are going to beat the Rams at home. Everyone is so hype on the Rams, And it feels like the Colts, despite their quarterback, are a good football team around them. And it's like people don't know about Wentz, so they're not really talking about the Colts. Whereas every other year was kind of like the Colts with Phillip Rivers. Like, they, he has a good team around him. Like, he just has to manage the game. And that's what Carson struggles with the most, is instead of managing, he has to play the game where, how can I not fuck this up? And 90% of the time he does. But it just feels to me like everyone is so high on the Rams, and this might be a little letdown spot to them, to a good football team, but not necessarily a good quarterback.
Here's the problem. I hear you.
Carson Wentz.
Yeah. Normally, I like the spot. It's why I took them last week against Seattle, because I actually think the Rams are better than Seattle, and I thought the Colts are a good football team, and he doesn't have – bro, he is
– atrocious.
Holy shit.
Atrocious.
He's awful. I'm trying to think about when Cam Newton said there's not 32 quarterbacks better. He's so bad. Like, he's horrible. He's terrible. He's really
three plays a game. He'll make you say, what the fuck? How can anyone on planet Earth do that?
I don't know if that's true anymore, though.
He's been in the NFL for 5 years, 6 years, whatever it is, and he still doesn't know how to slide. It's crazy. He dove headfirst last week, untouched, and fumbled the football.
Bro, he's so bad. Every time, you know, you want to know what the Colts offense looked like? Identical to the Falcons, because I had bets on both them, so I would look up from time to time. Neither one.
You really were not feeling me on Sunday.
I was not feeling money either.
Apparently. You bet on Wentz and against the Eagles.
All right, so I get the pick, but until I see something from Wentz that makes me think he's not the worst starter in the league, it's tough. All right.
He's not Zach Wilson.
Let's get Eagleson in here. I just want to say before he jumps on, the Eagles look amazing. I do see them winning the division and probably going to the NFC Championship.
Wow.
And the Dolphins winning that AFC East. And I think they're going to be – they're going to win a playoff game.
Oh, wait, no. This is Jack being a calculating loser.
So with that being said, would you guys like to bet on the Ravens not going as far as that?
What do you guys think? Are you in yet or no? I mean, the Chiefs are
staring. I'm not in yet.
I mean, we're staring 0-2 in the face. You think you're going to win and be 2-0. I know Eagleson thinks the Dolphins are good. So you guys are going to have a two-game lead.
Jalen regression. You're the one saying
it. So you guys think you're going to have a two-game lead. I would just love to potentially maybe organize a little friendly wager here. Thoughts, questions, concerns? Eagleson, why don't I start with you without outside influence from above?
I'm not in yet. I want to see them beat the Bills, and if they beat the Bills, then I'm in.
You just won in Foxborough. In Foxborough.
Big Bill Belichick.
Nobody wins. Nobody wins in cutoff hoodie. It's in Foxborough. Like, that's impressive.
Now they've got to win in Buffalo.
Remember what we said. Tua wasn't that bad. He wasn't.
Aaron Rodgers was bad, but he's still like an MVP. That argument doesn't work.
You want
to
know?
Are we trying to put Tua and Aaron Rodgers in the same?
You know how it went viral that Hurts threw for more 300-yard games than Lamar Jackson, which is such a weird.
Your audio cut off one more time.
Lamar threw for more passing yards than Tua. So, I mean, if we want to talk about anyone on this podcast, I guess it's Tua's arm or lack thereof. I don't really.
I mean, it's a consensus that
Tua's a
running back. Tua is the worst quarterback that can't run.
Right.
Yeah. Tua's the worst quarterback on this podcast, right?
Oh, no shit. That was relevant last year, by the way, brother. That's how bad Tua was.
I said from the start, Tua
would both
suck.
Are great. Lamar's the worst. What do you guys think, though? Are we in? You just don't have to finish last. There's no – if you finish second of the three, it's a push. But the loser pays the winner. Thoughts?
I'm not in yet. If they beat Buffalo, then I'll be in.
I'm no bitch. I'm in.
Wow. Let's go. All right, Eagleson, we need you in. Because to be honest, if the
– What is the end destination, though?
The
– Like, are we talking playoff rounds?
We're talking playoff rounds.
Oh, perfect. The Ravens are not winning their division. So I'm automatically one step ahead. Oh, wait, no. Everyone plays wild card weekend now. Yikes.
But you would have a home playoff game with the divisional win.
Yeah. What am I saying?
All right.
Lock it
in. So Abe's in. Eagleson, you guys are winning the East. So you're at the same level as Abe. And, I mean, Finn's up.
No, this is bullshit, but sure, I'm in.
All right.
That's why I said yes. I'm like, you know, let me just bully. Let me just
you asshole.
Yeah. This.
All right, so we got $100 on the line officially.
Whoa! I thought we should make this like more fun than financial.
Okay, I'm all for it.
I thought you were gonna say more money. Okay. Jeez.
I want the password.
Okay.
Ha.
What do you value the password Eagle at? Because I'm gonna need equal potential compensation.
I don't know. I mean, I just said it on a live stream once before, so not that much.
Eagleson, what do you want if you win?
I want Eagleson to dye his hair blonde if he loses.
I was gonna say I'll let one of you guys pick what college I go to or something fun like that.
That's like the wildest thing I've ever.
Yo, imagine the way that this podcast has gone and looking Jack and I in the face and being like, you know what? I'll let them decide my life path.
My guy's like smart going enough, to guys. Missouri State for 4 years.
No, what college would we send Eagleson to?
I'm trying to think of, like, somewhere cold, like Minnesota, but like, oh, yeah, somewhere Duluth,
miserable.
Duluth, yeah, like Minnesota Duluth. Or
something. What is that?
It's actually good at hockey, I'm pretty sure.
Minnesota, would, like all those places are.
I would send you to like Oral Roberts, something like all right, that.
So we're doing. Oh, so we're. How about we're just punishing the loser? I'm cool with that.
I'm okay. Cool with that.
Because there should be a clear loser. If all three of our teams lose in the same round, they're probably will just...
Point differential.
Nah.
Yeah, I'm cool with a tiebreaker.
Point differential.
Yeah. Okay.
Or regular season record.
We're just going to punish the loser. So if you finish last of the group...
Whoever's team finishes the worst.
Abe, I mean, Eagleson, I want the curls cut on the side with a blonde mohawk.
I want a mohawk
blonde
curl.
Mohawk
Come
curl.
On.
Okay, so that's Eagleson. So that's our selection for you. Now you two get to select my punishment. That me and Eagleson will select Abe.
Eagleson, what do we thinking? Got for Jack? What does he love?
Like, how far can we take this?
I mean, it depends. I need to accept the punishment. Kind of.
Like run around a block in New York in your boxers, something like
fuck
that.
Fuck that.
I don't
like,
know.
Spit it's 2021. On people like that now. Jack, I want you to do the crate challenge on Instagram okay. Live.
That's in a split Dolphins Eagles jersey
with no pads.
With no pads.
A split like Hurts Tua because they're both one.
Or like percent.
No, I don't want
percent
no.
Hurts,
absolutely not. I don't want Tua's name anywhere near my quarterback. So no. Absolutely.
All right, I
not.
Like that one.
You have to wear the jersey of whichever team finishes
okay.
first
right,
between me
right,
and Eagleson.
Right.
Okay.
All right. And Abe's punishment. I might.
You can't kill what's already dead. Joke's all right, on you. All right.
If you finish last, you have to do the Waffle House challenge.
Oh, all right. So I'm going to make the Eagles throw it. All right, fine.
But
the problem with that is, like, with the way that my RB2s I've lost in fantasy, and that's our punishment, like, I could easily get last place in fantasy
and have to do it twice. Okay. So, but what was the time?
I don't have a Waffle House, so can we do, like, IHOP?
No, it has to be Waffle House. Well, we can travel.
There's
that
no
Waffle. No problem. That ain't no problem.
Okay, but that's business
that's
expense.
That's fine. Okay. But what was the line you set for yourself?
That was bullshit because I didn't know the details. I think I said I would leave in like 6 hours.
Everyone else is
there's no over
like
under
18. No, because there has to be a punishment that because like it's not the
fine. But if you don't do the crate challenge, then and if you fall off, like all right, I get to hit you in the nuts. Like all right, that's
fine.
What we're doing. If you want to do punishments on top of punishments.
Well, you do the Waffle House challenge. That'll be your thing. We'll join you.
Eagleson gets a blonde curly mohawk.
Is there anything else like?
No, I think that's pretty.
Come
rough.
On.
You would rather.
You want me to go into like college like that with a freaking blonde mohawk?
You're either going.
Wanted to let us pick your college.
That's fine. I'm cool with that. Right?
I'm
not going to go in there with a blonde mohawk.
So Eagleson, you would rather go to North Dakota State University with that curly headed mop on top of your head. Then go to, say, the University of Miami with some blonde tips that'll change in a few months?
Absolutely.
All right. Well,
Eagleson
you know what,
says,
Eagleson?
Fuck the 4 years. You're going to ruin one
you know
month
what,
for
Eagleson?
Me.
I'm fine. I'll go to school anyway.
So you better hope Tua's legit. Good.
We're locked in, fellas. Let's go. All right. Wow, that turned out way better than I expected. Eagleson, you get a minute to talk about school, so tell us what's up.
Whoa.
Sorry.
If you keep going on with that, it's going to turn from a mohawk to a mullet, so take it easy. 3, 2, 1.
So, yeah, I started my last year of high school, which definitely feels a bit weird. I'm still not completely sure what the plan is after this, but so far it's gone pretty well. It's the same quadmester system as last year, if you guys remember, starting off with English and phys ed, if you guys want to place any bets on that. Both are going pretty well so far.
Didn't you say you literally not much just started?
Else. Didn't you get yeah, but I mean, it's been like, gym?
No, I got like a B plus or something. That was also health stuff integrated in that. I don't know. Next semester I have math and a spare. Well, it'll be my first spare. I haven't had one of those. So you guys will have to give me some tips on what to do.
What?
Oh, come on. Seriously? A spare.
Like you guys are bowling?
Like tire? Like a tire?
You guys are like bowling?
Whoa, what do you guys call it?
We don't.
You know what
know.
I mean?
I know. I legitimately have no idea what you're talking about.
Like, you don't have a class, like where everyone else
studies. Tell you what to do? What do you mean? Go to Tim Hortons and get
I don't know.
Drunk.
Like, I'm just like, gonna have like a
what else
free
would you do?
study.
I don't know what. It's kind of like a thing here. Like the
to be
like,
honest, literally the first two things that crossed my mind was they're bowling in phys ed. And two, he has a class, like a life class on how to switch a tire.
You guys, like, when you guys had free periods in high school, you
what
didn't.
What would I do?
Like,
study
or
hall.
What'd you call
free
it?
Period.
You called it study hall?
We called it free period. You actually had a block.
So, like, yeah.
Study hall.
We would hang out in.
We never had
yeah,
free
we would
periods.
Hang out in, like, the class.
When you, were in, your last year of high school, you never had. You
I just
did,
left
like,
school.
All your classes?
I just left school.
That's the guy. Like, that's the guy you wanted to pick where you go to school.
It's called senioritis.
Senioritis.
And I was diagnosed with stage 4.
And my advice would be, so we would either hang out like in the class lounge, like with friends.
Okay.
If it lined up with like lunch, we were allowed to go out for lunch and grab like
right.
a, whatever, not a cafeteria.
So I think mine is in the morning.
So I would come to school
like it would
late
be my
first.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would just sleep
exactly.
in.
Exactly. And it is. Yeah.
You know, I'm going to guide you through this senior year.
That's what I'm hoping for here.
On how you can just get straight B's, which in your case is like a 75, so it's easy as
yeah.
shit,
yeah.
while going to as minimal school as possible.
Love it.
The first thing you have to do is submit an application for your school's newspaper as the business
okay.
manager.
Why?
That's what... I was the business, me and my buddy were the business managers for the school newspaper senior year. Keep in mind, my high school's newspaper was like a top in the country for whatever reason.
I don't even think we have a school newspaper.
Whatever. Our newspaper was unreal. And there was an application for the business managers. And me and my buddy were like, all right, let's just do it. It'll be like something we can throw on our resume, even though that shit doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And it was ended up, we got it somehow together. Usually there's only one, and it was me and my best friend. It was Linsky. And our goal was our job was essentially, it was last period every day, journalism. We were with everyone on the newspaper. It was a class, but they would just work on the newspaper all day. And our job for the newspaper was to get ads for the newspaper. So every day, second the bell rang and class started, we would say, we're going to go get some ads. And we'd just leave school. We'd go get lunch, just not do anything. So it came to the point where the teacher was like, where are the ads? So we're like, oh, shit. So we did what anyone would do in that situation. We went to my buddy's house. We went on Microsoft Word. We went on WordArt. And we made a fake advertisement.
But what about when you had to get the money?
Yeah, the money.
No, it was just like an advertisement thing. Like we needed like just some submissions. Oh. And then that would do the rest. And we just submitted a fake ad. And they never questioned us. And then there was another point. Our school would have a dodgeball tournament every year that the newspaper would run. And our job was to find a gift that was worth X amount of money. And we waited to the last day, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And we ended up going to this sports collectibles store. And we asked the guy, we picked like this random flyers plaque. And we asked him to change the price tag on it so it looked more expensive than it was. And he complied. So they thought whoever won that dodgeball tournament, they were getting like some $200 signed Flyers plaque. But in reality, it was like $22.50 and it was just a computer signed plaque. So join your newspaper and scheme it. Because that's what awesome. I did. And it was great. And I think they loved us. So
well done.
I've got plenty of, I got plenty of other lessons for senior year.
Eagleston, did you name your Sunday segment yet? Your 1 minute on the Dolphins?
I was thinking of different stuff that rhymed with like minute and like fin, like something like that. I couldn't come up with anything solid, but
all right.
I'll keep brainstorming.
Yeah. Abe will have more advice for your school updates on Thursdays. Eagleston, any final thoughts?
I want to agree with you about the Darren Waller thing. That guy is unguardable, and it's ridiculous. It's so frustrating to watch.
Yeah, he's really good.
I was not frustrated in the slightest, but that's just me.
Is that your final thought, Abraham? I assume there's more. Hurts, Devonta.
Go Birds!
Snapback fam, potentially coming from you post-Sunday Night Football, albeit doubtful given Abe's old age of 25. But you'll hear from us post-Ravens win. Snapback fam, much love. Peace.